I am Dexter Reinefeld, a lawyer practicing advocate from South Africa. It is with great honor and appreciation that I present to you, members of this jury, a statement of the Court of Public Opinion's opening statement. First and foremost, I want to acknowledge Lemuel Beloy, Yvonne Katsanda, Deborah Monyeki, and Walter Mashilo, as well as all the brave COVID-19 vaccine injured witnesses worldwide for their kind assistance and participation. I'm going to start off with what Thomas Paine 200 years said, and he's actually stated very eloquently, the greatest tyrannies are always perpetrated in the name of the noblest causes. This statement is ever more relevant today as it was 200 years ago and will continue to be relevant for years and centuries to come. The question posed to you, honorable members of the jury, what is the noblest cause that has been and still are being exploited since the inception of this SARS-CoV-2 COVID-19 pandemic? This is none other than the all-encompassed cause. Yalty body, yalty mind comes down to human yalt. We can all agree that the noblest cause is what is in the best interest of human yalt and how this impacts our family and friends, as well as our ability to generate an income. The evidence presented will showcase exactly how the defendants orchestrated and manipulated this noblest cause, human yalt, to advance their agenda of total control and dominance on an unsuspected populace, and how they made serious inroads into the populace's constitutional and inalienable rights and freedom. From the onset of this pandemic, ladies and gentlemen, members of the juries, the defendants deployed and invested considerable efforts and money in the public relations, actually, in a matter of fact, their public relations campaigns with the assistance of the mainstream corporate media. They capitalized this human health concerns for their financial benefits and aspirations of total dominance and control. To their benefit, they use the catchphrase, follow the signs. This is a catchphrase that all of us are just so familiar with, for whenever they talk, they will always substantiate, let's follow the signs. This is what the science says to justify and legitimize their public health policies for the so-called common good worldwide in lockstep. In addressing the human health concerns in respect to COVID-19, the following pertinent questions must be posed, ladies and gentlemen. The first question, what is the true nature of the SARS-CoV-2 virus? Is it really novel? And if so, to what extent can we say it is novel? The short answer to that is no, it is not novel. Here, the evidence from the medical and scientific experts will show beyond any shadow of doubt that we are not dealing with a novel virus. In a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, members of this jury, the SARS-CoV-2 virus can in many ways be regarded as a seasonal flu, where its composition is very much comparable to the SARS-CoV-1 virus. The second question that we need to pose, are there any suitable and viable medical treatments to combat the COVID-19 illness? Without going into too many detail, my learned friend, Advocate Dipali, has clearly indicated that yes, indeed, there is alternative treatments, and not just that there is alternative treatments, but there is successful alternative treatments. And this is the evidence that will most definitely be presented to each and every one of you. The third and final question that we need to pose in relation to this yalt concern is what is the survival rate of the COVID-19 illness? Evidence once more will show that the survival rate forecast at the onset of the pandemic was nothing more than a computerized statistical forecast used to instill fear. And I believe we are all also very much familiar with that fear that has been instilled in each and every one of us. But in reality, the survival rate is 99.5%. Some of the experts will also give evidence that when it comes to the survival rate, it can even go as high as 99.97%. The current realistic mortality rate is not even close to the computerized statistical forecast projected. In a matter of fact, the seasonal flu is a higher mortality rate than COVID-19. Just this statement alone, ladies and gentlemen, must bring us now to a state where we need to reflect and say, was it worth it? Was all the lockdowns, hand sanitation, social distancing, was it really worth it? The three questions that I just posed to you, members of the jury, bring us to the US, the United States National Library of Medicine. This was a workshop that was conducted, and I'm going to take a quote out of this workshop, and you can search for it on the World Wide Web. And it is a rapid medical countermeasures response to infectious disease, enabling sustainable capabilities through ongoing public and private sector partnership, in which Dr. Peter Daszak wrote to Dr. Anthony Fauci, open quote, that until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at an emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. We need to increase this public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures, such as pan coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond when they see profit at the end of the process, close quote. This quote in itself, ladies and gentlemen, is incriminating. It is unambiguous. It sets out the plan behind the pandemic. And by a click of a button, honorable members of the jury, you can search for yourself on the World Wide Web who the financial beneficiaries are of this pandemic. Without any doubt, it is the investors, it is the shareholders of the vaccine companies, to the dismay of the populace, the average man, the average woman. What the ultimate intent to obliterate small and medium-sized businesses. The only businesses who are currently thriving financially are the pharmaceutical companies and the big tech conglomerates. We also see the direct impact it had on moms and pops shops in medium-sized companies as well. What the statements presented to you will clearly indicate why citizens participated in the global vaccine medical experiments. At the core of the vaccine participants' belief system, and you will hear it from the vaccine injured victims, at the core of their belief system as to why they partook in this medical experiment is that they thought it will be in their best health interest and ultimately financial interest. So with this said, we see there is a direct connection. I have to do it because of my health. And if I don't do it, I'm going to lose out financially. I will not be able to earn an income. And hence why I pose to you, why the financial interest? If they do not participate in the experimental vaccines, they stand to lose their financial income capacity. This is nothing short of coercion and blackmail, to say the least. This is what we call, ladies and gentlemen, the carrot and stick approach. The evidence presented will elucidate due ethical medical experiment processes and protocols that must always be adhered to when conducting medical experiments in mice. Medical experiments must adhere to the highest standards of medical ethics, as set out in the Declaration of Helsinki, the Nuremberg Code, as well as each respective country's codified legislative prescripts. The evidence will show that without any doubt, the Declaration of Helsinki, the Nuremberg Code, and the codes of conduct for medical experiments in each and every country were violated. In a matter of fact, it's still being violated with this mandatory vaccine mandate. It's being pushed throughout the world. And this has all been done with the catchphrase, follow the science. The evidence will show that when it comes to SARS-CoV-2, when it comes to COVID-19, it can be compared as a common flu. The honorable members of the jury, the mRNA inventor, Dr. Robert Malone, stated on multiple alternative media platforms as to why the COVID-19 mRNA experimental vaccines are dangerous and fraught with grave possible long-term sequelae. Inter alia, we're talking about myocarditis, pericarditis, and the evidence will clearly indicate that. A broad overview will also be given of the medical and scientific laboratory test that has been conducted in the past on the mRNA medical technology to date as well, and why it is not prudent to deploy the mRNA vaccines on a global scale on an unsuspected populace. The evidence will be corroborated by pharmacologists, toxicologists, immunologists, virologists, physiologists, and biochemists inter alia. Here is a prelude of the evidence that will be presented by either Professor Bhakti, Professor Palmer, and or Dr. Vodak. And I quote, open quote, overall, it is apparent that the novel method of introducing genetic material into human cells via adenoviruses or adeno-associated viruses is fraught with dangerous side effects, the causes of which are not yet entirely clear. While such risk might be acceptable in otherwise incurable conditions such as spinal muscular atrophy, it is absolutely irresponsible to impose them on healthy people who have little or no risk to ever experience a severe course of COVID-19, close quote. Members of the jury, to fully comprehend the full extent of the plan behind this pandemic, we must focus to what extent the defendants enacted their lockstep approach or follow the signs. We do not have to go too far to comprehend their playbook. We can simply look at how they changed, adapted epidemiological, medical, and scientific definitions to suit and justify their mantra or follow the science. With closer introspection, we must investigate how they changed, adapted medical and scientific definitions. And the definitions we're talking about is pandemic, endemic, vaccines, herd immunity, and natural immunity. Medical and scientific evidence will show how these definitions were altered, adapted to fit the defendant's premeditated intentional criminal offense, crimes against humanity. The adaptations of a paramount epidemiological, medical, and scientific definitions are criminal, i.e., they follow the science narrative. It's not in sync with well-established epidemiological standards and practices. The evidence will clearly illustrate the discrepancies between the follow the science narrative and the actual well-established objective medical and scientific information and data. Honorable members of the jury, I hereby draw your attention to a quote by Booker T. Washington. Open quote. A lie does not become truth. Wrong does not become right. And evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. Even if the majority, for argument's sake, and I just quickly just want to go back, by a majority, that's the close quote. Even if the majority, for argument's sake, accepts the distorted medical and scientific definitions, it cannot be seen as correct and or truthful. A mere change of medical and scientific definitions at the whim without clear, unambiguous medical and scientific substantiations cannot justify any changes, adaptations, and it cannot thus be seen as truth. It does not matter how many times the defendants and or any collaborators repeat a lie. In the case we are making reference to the media, it cannot become truth. Of the questions uppermost in the minds of the populace, honorable members of the jury, is how is it that the defendants were able to make so many advancements in the rollout of the planned pandemic and the vaccines? Why did a considerable number of the populace fall for the defendants' pandemic narrative to the extent where they presented themselves to be vaccinated with an experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccine? To answer this, we have to look at the following concept, astroturfing. And I'm going to read the definition of astroturfing from the Merriam-Webster definition, and it reads as follows. Organized activity that is intended to create a false impression of a widespread, spontaneously arising grassroots movement in support of or in opposition to something, such as a political policy. But that is, in reality, initiated and controlled by a concealed group or organizations, such as corporations. Evidence will be led to show how the defendants and their co-conspirators drummed up grassroots support and how they deployed mainstream corporate media to push their agenda of premeditated global mass murder by convincing a portion of the populace to willingly accept the experimental COVID-19 gene therapy vaccines. It will be shown that through a psychological state of large-scale mass formation, the populace's mental equity was intoxicated. And as a direct consequence, the populace trusted the mainstream narrative, even though it was utterly absurd and obviously wrong. I leave you with the following quote from Aristotle. It encapsulated the true essence of our current state of affairs globally. But before I go into it, this court of public opinion asks you to duly consider all the evidence that will be presented in its totality and to find it in you to see the truth. For what is what for what it is for what it is. This is a pandemic and not a pandemic. And when you look at the two words pandemic, there is one a letter that is different, and that is the L. So what we say, we will be presenting all the evidence. You will learn exactly as to why we are where we are. And as a result of that, you will be confident to say, I have learned, so I'm going to take that capital L and I'm going to insert in pandemic. This is not a pandemic. This is a pandemic. The evidence is clear and direct. Consequentially, the evidence presented will showcase that there is sufficient prima facie evidence against all the defendants, and that indictments can be, and in a matter of fact, must be issued against the defendants in their personal or professional capacities, as well as against those co-conspirators in each and every country in the world who played an instrumental role in peddling the great illusion of follow the signs. Yes, following the signs to a point of literal death. And this is the quote from Aristotle, open quote, governments which have a regard to the common interest are constituted in accordance with strict principles of justice and are therefore true forms. But those which regard only the interests of the rulers are all defective and perverted forms, for they are despotic, whereas a state is a community of freemen. I thank you, honorable members of the jury.